Welcome to episode 92. I'm your host, Sean Patrick Maloney.
Hey guys, thanks for joining me today on this virtual event. Really excited to talk with Chris Devon today. We've been talking about the why refi when you can rebuy. We've been talking about the cost of waiting, and we've also been talking about just in general, if you're not going to move, the idea of refinance and where it could put you in life. Just because a lot of people are sitting in a lot of equity, a lot of people are sitting in great homes. I want to have people have a lot of opportunity right in front of themselves, but they don't quite get it because a lot of times nervous or hesitation. So we're going to talk to you guys about how to better talk with your buyers, to talk about real life scenarios, to help them understand the whole process. Thanks for joining me today, Chris. How you doing?
Thanks for having me, Sean. Excited to be here. To your point, I think the market right now is obviously crazy. There's a lot going on in the world in 2020, but in the real estate world, I think there's tremendous opportunity in a lot of markets, not only in Massachusetts, but across the country. So excited to kind of break down the two different scenarios that you brought up. I got the first-time home buyer that's just looking to get into a property and wants to look at what the options look like and the cost of waiting, and then also that move-up buyer that a lot of people right now are taking advantage of and really playing with monopoly money. So,
yeah. Paper equity turning into real life.
Right.
Nothing better than
it. Amazing what you can do today, for sure.
Awesome. So I'm going to let you give one of your presentations. Why don't we start with the cost of waiting? Because I think that's a good one to start with. Hey guys, so just always remember, you know, people always talk about speculation, right? So some people are speculating right now that the market's going to go back up. And when you talk with them, they'll tell you, you know, this is going to go a market correction. So this one is for that type of objection. When someone says to you, Chris, the reason I'm not going to buy today is because tomorrow the market's going to crash and I'm going to get a better house and I'm going to get it for more money. And I'm going to get it for less money and it's going to be great. So Chris is going to go over a scenario that runs down the numbers for you to be accurate.
This is a common thing that I hear as well. A lot of people are coming up on their leases in the next, 3 to 6 months, and they want to run the numbers. And they say, you know what? I think the market has been so strong for so long, it's got to turn at some point. Okay. Now, many forecasters are saying that 2021 is actually going to bring us, a continued increase in prices. But for those that believe that's not going to happen, let's take a look at what that would do. Okay, so what I'm doing here is in column one, showing you a purchase, a $500,000 purchase at today's current rate. Rates right now have been trending in like the 2.58, 2.875 range over the past month or so. So being conservative, I'm running it at 2.875, putting 20% down. That would give you a payment of $2,159, okay? $2,159. Now, for that buyer that says, you know what? I'm going to sign another lease. I'm going to wait a year and see what happens, okay? Let's say the market corrects itself 5%, okay? Looking at column number two, 5% correction, that same home would now be selling for $475. Now, the forecast for interest rates, guys, is that they're going to stay low through at least 2022. But what does low mean? Okay, there are many people that are saying that that gap could mean just less than 4%, which if you look at the past 50 years, that is still amazingly low, right? So doing this 20 years, we've spent very little time under 4%. So that is still a great interest rate. So if you look at the numbers at 475 purchase price, borrowing the same exact amount of money at 3.875, you realize your payment would actually go up $127. So it would cost you more to wait. Now, what does that mean?
That's crazy, isn't it, huh? Sorry to cut you off there.
No.
I want to accentuate that. I mean, that's insane. You know, we're talking, what is it? Can you go back up just one sec? So we're talking $25,000 less dollars. We're talking $20,000 less borrowed. We're talking a higher interest rate and paying more money. That's unbelievable.
Right. And then what does it translate into over time? If you look here, over 5 years or 60 months, you'd be saving yourself $16,000. Real money, right? Now look at over 15.
Be in a better home.
Right. And you're saving yourself $44,000 over 15 years. So there is a lot of power, guys. Now is a great time to buy. Yes, it is competitive. Don't think that's going to change anytime soon. And when you connect with an agent and a lender that are able to guide you through the process and really put you in the best position possible, you can get over that competitive offer situation and put yourself in the best position to win that offer and save yourself a lot of money today.
Chris, would it be okay? Like, do they have permission to like take screenshots of this and share it with people?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
No issue. Now you want to jump to the move up buyer?
Yeah. Why don't we jump over there? That one's just amazing. I mean, even to me, I mean, I feel aware of it, you know what I mean? But I certainly didn't understand the full gravity of it. It's nice to see it in a full layout like that to just really truly grasp what exactly it actually means. Because, you know, we always hear talk, we always hear banter, and we're not all calculators. Like, you can't just throw it up in your head like, okay, long-term number, short-term number. So it's really nice to just see it laid out and then see what the actual long-term is.
And the typical mindset, which makes sense for especially that first time home buyer, okay, is if I spend less, I'm going to pay less, right? And that's obviously not the case. The other thing is you have to think about that next year of rent that you're paying and putting in somebody else's pocket, right? There's no equity being built there. So there's so many reasons why now is a great time to buy.
Right. And then you just think about all the hacks in life of like, if you're living in an expensive rental area and you're paying $11 for a sandwich instead of $7 and commuting and childcare is expensive and all the different things, is just so many places. And this is just number one, you always have to make it that payment, that monthly place to live, whether it be rent or mortgage. But now you're getting a mortgage for as much as history is concerned for free compared to what's ever happened.
Right. 100%.
Awesome. So yeah, let's jump into that next one. And this one, guys, remember, is more about the why rebuy versus refi. So, you know, for Chris, it obviously, you know, this one's a catch-22, because whether they refi or rebuy, we want them to use him and to get the loan through him. So it really doesn't hurt his business to talk down a refi during this situation, because the rebuy actually could mean more sides of the transactions. Because you guys can always suggest, when working with buyers, if you feel nervous about their bank, you can always suggest to the buyer of a listing that you have, hey, we'd like you to switch banks over to this because we'd feel more comfortable. You guys should check them out. Because remember, we often have more control of our own buyers. But as a seller, if you're nervous about a situation, there's nothing illegal or wrong about saying, hey, your offer would be stronger if you did it with people we trust. I'm just saying. So obviously that's there. So Chris, yeah, go ahead and tell everybody about, you know, the rebuy, refi situation. And remember, guys, whether they rebuy or not, they should refi if they're in this situation.
Right. And to us, to your point, Sean, I mean, we're looking out for our clients' best interests, and whether they refi or buy, like that, we're here to help the clients. We're here to educate and put them in the best position possible. And I think running scenarios like this is a real scenario for a client that I went over with last week, and I had helped them purchase a home in 2016. Okay. So if you look at their current situation, I think when they bought the house, it's now worth 465, but when they bought it, it was like 355, I think. So they've gained a lot of equity. And you know, they're still in that same loan at 4 5/8. Okay. So big picture, good interest rate, but there's definitely an opportunity to refinance and save the money. And we had connected earlier in the year. COVID had affected them. The homeowner was furloughed, and the wife was actually pregnant, having a baby. So it just wasn't the right time. However, when we just revisited it, they're back to work. They've had their second baby. And we're looking at the refinance, and there's, if you look at column two, definitely a tremendous opportunity to save a lot of money, okay? By going to another 30-year fixed, dropping their interest rate to 2.875, they're going to save $421 a month. It's a lot of money, right? So tremendous opportunity there. However, their situation has changed from when they bought the house. They had zero kids when they bought. They now have two kids, and they're running out of space. And they definitely feel like they want more space. And when they look at the home renovation idea, it is really no place that they can build out on their current lot. And they're just concerned that as the kids start to get older, they're okay in the baby phase, but as they get older, they're definitely going to need more space. So suggested that they just start poking around, and they actually found a home in the same town that they loved for $575,000. Okay. So what we did here in column three is we ran the scenario. What if they purchased the new home using the equity, the monopoly money that they've been able to really build up over the past 4 years? And John, I'm sure you can attest to this. In today's market, because it is so competitive, it's better if they make an offer not contingent upon the current sale of their home, right? So if possible, and in this case, they could afford carrying both loans, I'm running column three with putting the minimum down payment for this scenario, which was 5%, which they had in savings, okay, and carrying their current home as well. Like I said, because it's tough to make it contingent upon the sale, what would that look like? Now, in reality, if they put their home on the market at the same time, which they're probably planning to do, they're not going to necessarily need this because of inventory issues. If priced correctly, it's going to probably go quickly. But this is worst case scenario. Let's say they had to carry the home for 30 to 60 days. Their payment would go up, if you look right here, it would go up $641, okay? Now, with their cash flow, like I said, they can afford this. They were okay with it. Realize it's worst case scenario for a couple months, and it would give them that opportunity to jump on that home and not be contingent upon the sale of their current property. But if you have a buyer that does have to sell, remember, you can still make that offer. You don't have to necessarily carry both homes. In this situation, it was the best opportunity for them, okay? So if you flip it to column four, what does it look like if they were able to sell the home and put that monopoly money towards the new mortgage, okay? With our loans, we can do what's called a recast option. And what that means is when you get the proceeds once a year with a minimum principal reduction payment of $25,000, we can recast that, knock down the principal balance, and recast the payment. So the payment will drop according to how much you put into the mortgage, okay? So if you look at it, their new interest rate is 2.875. They're putting $125,000 into the mortgage, and their payment would actually go down $27 from their current situation. That means they're getting the home of their dreams, what they're looking for, and they're paying less than what they're paying now.
That's amazing.
Right?
That's amazing. And guys, remember, you know, what he said about the being able to sell without the home sale contingency is great and everything. And obviously, like he said, it may not work for everybody. But remember, once you get into what you consider more second-time homes, like when you pass that 500K mark, that's where the home sale contingency doesn't hurt you as much. It'll always hurt you. But when you're in that first-time home buyer category and you can't, like, so anything under really, it might even be 600 now, but if you can't make a clean offer and you're a multiple offer situation, you got to remember you're competing with teenagers in basements. You're competing with people that are ending their rental life and moving to housing. So these people are very flexible. So you as a home seller, buyer, you really need to add to that flexibility. So an option like that, I mean, worst case scenario, if they carried it for even, say, 6 months, we're still only talking less than $4,000, I think. I think it's like might be just at $4,000 for 6 months of carry time, which is obviously insane. So this is a great option for people to make that deal happen.
Now, what we like to do, Sean, is show them how that money translates over time, right? So if you look here, look at the 60 months, 5 year table here, going with the refinance is going to save them almost $23,000, which is amazing, but they still have the issue of the home that they are growing out of, right? Column number three, I'll come back to it. Yes, it's going to, you know, they would be losing 17 grand, but that's only the short-term fix, right? And then column number four, they would be saving over $13,000 in the new home that fits their family and all of their needs versus what they're doing right now, just by capitalizing on the equity that they have in their current home. So tremendous option. Now, taking it one step further, I really find this interesting. Let's take a look at their net worth over 15 years. Okay. So if you were to go with option four, right, your net worth is 780 versus 652 in the current situation, which is tremendous. They're getting the home of their dreams. They're saving money on a monthly basis from their current situation, and they're also gaining $130,000 in net worth. No brainer, okay? Let's look at column three, though, and this is really interesting to me. Is, remember I told you, for this client, they were okay with, they could afford and potentially okay with the $641 increase in payment. So what I did here in column three is I did a reinvestment strategy. What if we took that $125,000, okay, and invested it in into an investment that gained them 4% return? Put it with an advisor or somebody that you could gain 4%, which is a conservative number over 15 years, okay? These guys have education potentially in the future and, you know, want to save. That would increase their net worth over $1 million. Okay. So a lot of people don't know how and when to invest and save. This is an awesome opportunity where they can really increase their net worth. They're comfortable with that payment, and what that does over time is pretty compelling. So I really love option, you know, three and four, you know, just to see those options or to, that they can increase their net worth significantly. Is pretty cool.
So basically, guys, real quick, is, you know, the short of it is, failure to talk to Chris over the next whatever month to year, however long these rates are, is literally failure to set up yourself for success in life. As far as if you're in, like, I mean, when I bought my house, I was a 6.625. These numbers are nothing even like that. If you saw those numbers, I mean, that would be freaking insane, you know, because we'd be talking, I'd be paying double as much interest as what we are. So there are people out there that may be in the older crowd that are sitting there that are, you know, they're the protectionists of their money. They don't borrow money from people. They pay everything on time. They've been paying that mortgage down forever. There's some people with some pretty scary rates that have no idea that refinance doesn't mean taking on extra debt. You're not just suddenly going to get amass this huge amount of extra debt. It may mean some small closing costs and things like that, but most of the time they can roll those in and your payment's lower anyhow. So right. You're still paying the same amount of time. And like, I know when this happened, when I was in a house, I did a refi and I went from a 30 to a 20. I dropped 7 years and went up $50 a month. I dropped 7 years, $50 a month more cost. What is that? That's like a pizza, right? Really.
We're looking at that for a lot of people right now, Sean. So everybody's scenario is different, and it's amazing. A lot of people just come to us and say, I just want the lowest interest rate. Well, depending on the term, the lower the term, the lower the interest rate, right? But, you know, it is amazing how we're able to take some people right now in a 30-year fix that, you know, we're at, you know, high fours, and drop them into a 15-year fixed in the low twos, and their payment is very similar, and they're saving tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars over time. So there is, to your point, just so much opportunity right now, whether it's rent versus buy, whether it's, you know that move-up buyer that's gained equity over the past few years, or the person that's happy with the home and wants to refinance and cut their term and save the money. Everybody should really be looking at their current situation if they haven't reviewed it in the past 6 months.
I always explain it like this, Chris, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's like if you're at the casino, you're up a big hand, you're way up, and you never walk over to the cashier's check and put some in your pocket. and suddenly you go on a losing streak. And the next thing you know, you're in for money. You're not up money, you're in for money because you didn't stand up ever, clear the table and put $500 in to feed the kids or whatever. You know, my grandmother, she used to always play the lottery, you know, and she'd gamble a lot. She used to bring envelopes, self-addressed envelopes, and every once in a while when she was up, she would mail herself a check home so she couldn't touch it. You know what I mean? And this is what that is. This is that cash out moment where you're sending money home and it's yours. Like, you get to keep it. It's no longer going back to the house. Right now, it's with the bank, which is the house in this scenario, but you don't own any of it because it's only paper equity. Whereas if you cash out and rebuy, or you cash out on the refi, you owe less money. You own it. It's your money now. It's not fake money. It's not play money. It's actually realized at that moment.
Right. Take your free chips off the table.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Don't give them back to the house because they'll always come for them.
They'll always take them.
Winning days don't. We're not always winning.
Right.
Awesome. Well, I think that's some great material. Guys, if anyone has any questions, make sure to reach out to Chris. Chris, give me your contact info.
Well, the best way to get me is 617-429-3976. My email is cdevin@myccmortgage.com. You can find me on any of the social media channels as well.
Awesome. And I also noticed you guys over there on Barstool Sports and everything too, huh?
We are. Yes, that's been an exciting partnership that we've entered into in the past couple months and really, really expanding the brand nationwide. So it's been a lot of fun.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining me this morning, and I look forward to talking to you soon about I have a deal for you coming up.
Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.